Welcome back into the program on this September the 11th, 2013. Definitely a date that each time it passes on the calendar, Americans remember as that fateful day when, in 2011, when the planes flew into the World Trade Center towers in New York and in the Pentagon in Washington, and terror struck this country in a very impactful way. And I think all of us who lived through it and remember it certainly will never forget what happened, and will always reflect each September the 11th. There is some college football news today, and I haven't been on the program since the last weekend's developments, but there were some interesting games and results in the SEC. One of them was Georgia winning 41-30 over South Carolina, and I proclaim South Carolina's defense to be perhaps the best in the SEC on this show before, and they laid a complete egg against Georgia. Jadeveon Clowney was nowhere to be found. His presence was not felt at all in the game. Aaron Murray had 300 yards passing. Todd Gurley ran for 134 yards. It was a great day if you're a Georgia fan, but where is this South Carolina program right now? On the sideline during the game, two South Carolina assistant coaches got into an altercation, and if there's ever an indication about what might be going on negatively in your program, it might be if two assistant coaches are on the sideline going at it during the game. Now, it could have been productive, it may not have been, I don't know, but it's definitely something that raised eyebrows. Here is what South Carolina head coach Steve Spurrier had to say about this altercation this morning.
Or we will have a problem if it occurs again, that's for sure. I didn't see it when it happened during the game and heard about it. And then obviously it was all over television because that camera's all over the sidelines all the time, as I know. But obviously those two guys didn't know. It's always there. Yeah, it was a little dispute about your guy did this. No, my guy did that. And I said, you know. But, yeah, they've – I think both coaches were at fault, certainly, and both coaches know we don't do that crap around here. So it should be handled.
We'll get the college football professor's take on what exactly it means when two coaches are going at it on the sideline, someone who's been around the game and certainly been around coaching staffs as he was a head coach. And what is going on with Steve Spurrier and his defense that was supposed to be so good? Jadeveon Clowney had an off night against North Carolina. And I think everyone said, well, but the 9-day layoff, they'll get Georgia next week, and Jadeveon Clowney, he'll be much improved for that game. As far as I know, Jadeveon Clowney, I never even saw him in Athens. So that's where that is. A major story has come out by Sports Illustrated. It is a 5-part investigative series on the Oklahoma State football program detailing many aspects of corruption. Yesterday, it was reported that at least 8 Oklahoma State football players say they received cash payments from people associated with the Cowboys program starting in the Les Miles era, which of course goes back to 2000-2001. And they've also identified 29 other players who also allegedly took money. Now today, 13 former Oklahoma State... Now these are not happening stories. One was released yesterday, one is released today, but this report has already been completed. That at least is my understanding. Today's release had 13 former Oklahoma State football players between 2000 and 2011 say they committed academic misconduct. 16 others were named by teammates. So we have 13 players saying they committed academic misconduct. And yesterday, at least 8 players say they received cash payments. And supposedly this is a 5-part series, so there are 3 parts still to come. Les Miles is one of the he was the head coach at Oklahoma State and one of the individuals prominently named in this story. He addressed his potential involvement and what happened while he was at Oklahoma State this morning.
I revered my time at Stillwater. The idea that somebody would characterize the program that was run there is anything but right and correct. Now, I can tell you that people that were commenting on the state of the program weren't there long enough to figure it out.
So Les Miles says that that anybody who alleges that anything happened that was wrong, they just weren't there long enough. They didn't have time to figure out what was going on. My guess is if you're on a college campus and you play football for a university, a school, you probably know what's going on. Well, all eyes have turned to the big game that will happen in College Station. Number 6, Texas A&M welcoming number 1, Alabama to town. Nick Saban had a comment about this A&M offense and about its historical perspective that I found interesting. Here's Nick Saban this morning.
You know, Texas A&M has an outstanding team, you know, one of the best offensive teams probably in college football, maybe in the history of college football in terms of, you know, their quarterback's ability to make plays and the great job of executing that they do.
I realize Johnny Manziel is a great player, but in the history of college football, one of the greatest offenses, maybe. And Nick Saban has seen quite a few of them. He's seen Tim Tebow, seen Cam Newton. A lot of experience, and he says Texas A&M's offense is one of the greatest in college football. We'll get the college football professor's take on it, who's been around the game for many, many years, a little later. And then finally, Kevin Sumlin was asked by a reporter what he needs to do this weekend on defense.
When you look at your team giving up almost 30 points a game, how big of a concern is that, and what do y'all need to do the most from a defensive standpoint?
Get better.
So across the board at every level?
Offensively, defensively, and special teams.
So Kevin Sumlin says, quite simply, they need to get better. But the question is, can you get better during the season? Can you get better from week to week? Giving up the kind of plays that they gave up this past weekend to Sam Houston State, 28 points, nearly 500 yards. Can you get better? Can you correct that week to week? So the college football professor joins us now, and we'll get his take on a number of these issues. And I'll start with what Coach Spurrier said. You heard a minute ago he said that they have handled it internally, and he really didn't seem to think it was that big of an issue, the two assistants fighting on the sidelines. So, college football professor, what does that mean for your program when something like that happens? And do you think Steve Spurrier should pay a little bit more attention to it?
Well, I think so. It reminds me of the Beverly Hillbillies. If you remember, Jethro and Ella May had been in the fight, and they'd tell Jed that they hadn't really been in the fight. They were just playing around. But the fact is that the Beverly Hillbillies were surviving, as the story goes. They'd struck it rich. Well, I'm afraid South Carolina struck out. So they need to pay attention to what's going on the sidelines.
They've struck. All right, Beverly Hillbillies, and interesting analogy. Nick Saban said that Texas A&M's offense is one of the greatest, perhaps one of the greatest, in college football history. Do you agree?
I'm not sure I agree with that, but it is an outstanding offense. So it's they have a player running the quarterback position who is one of the he's like a Houdini almost, and so he makes other players around him better. But I'm not sure this year if they have the offensive line that they had last year. But they're plenty good. There's no question about that.
And Kevin Sumlin said that his team needs to get better, talking about the 28 points given up to Sam Houston State and the 500 yards given up to Sam Houston State and the enormous amount of yardage and points given up to Rice as well. He was asked what his team needs to do. He said, get better in all three phases of the game. But can you realistically do that during the season from week to week?
Well, you can improve, but it's hard to make dramatic improvement. But the problem is not getting the defense to improve in a week. It's getting some other players in a week. And that's the problem. You can't do that.
Well, let's look ahead at this upcoming college football weekend. It has a lot of interesting storylines, and I think we'll start with a couple of other games that I want your quick take on before we move to the big one, and that is Tennessee and Oregon. Any chance the Volunteers can make this an interesting game?
It's hard for me to see that. If Oregon can run their offense like Western Kentucky did, they could have a real good chance. I mean, if you get 4 or 5 turnovers in 2 or 3 minutes, then I think they could beat them. But Oregon does not turn the ball over normally. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Tennessee.
What about Mississippi State and Auburn? This is an interesting game in the SEC West. Auburn looks to have improved dramatically from last year to this year. Mississippi State looks like they're on a downhill slide. How do you see this one ending up?
Well, the interesting thing about that, you know, we usually look at the, you know, the top games, top teams, but sometimes those teams who are not in the top echelon of the conference, when they're playing, it's a big game to them because this could be a turning point whether they're going to be in the lower group or whether they're going to start moving on up. And so I think it's a very important game, and I'm not sure exactly how that's going to go. I can't help but believe that Mississippi State's much better than they showed in the first game, but Oklahoma State's a very good team as well. So I think it'll be a good game.
How many points will Louisville score when they travel to Kentucky this weekend, and what will be the margin of victory?
It's going to be a big margin, probably, but who knows? Maybe they can come in there and not be concentrating and thinking it's just an easy rub, and Kentucky may have a few good players and could do something, but I can't see them beating Louisville.
Any chance of a letdown from South Carolina after last week as they host Vanderbilt?
I think there is a chance, but I think that South Carolina just got too many good players for Vanderbilt.
Okay. Well, let's move into the one that everybody wants to talk about, and that is the game, of course, between number 6 Texas A&M and number 1 Alabama, played in Kyle Field this weekend. Can Johnny Football pull off the upset yet again and show the Tide that he cannot be conquered, or can Alabama do what it has done before and in rematch scenarios and get revenge and take down the Aggies? First, I want to look at this game from an Alabama point of view as they come into this football game. What does Alabama need to do? What is the main key for Alabama, other than the obvious, which is, of course, containing and stopping Johnny Manziel? But what are some of the other things that Alabama needs to do to be successful?
I think the number one thing for Alabama is to keep the ball. And I'm not just saying you got to, have all the time of possession and all that, but I'm thinking that Alabama really has a chance of wearing Texas A&M down more than Texas A&M has a chance of wearing Alabama down. I think if Alabama starts really running the ball and controlling the ball and with short passes and running, their offensive line will begin to wear the defensive line of Texas A&M down, because they're a smaller defensive line. And they're really not as experienced as last year. Didn't have any, some of the great playmakers.
When Texas A&M does have the ball and Johnny Football gets the snap, what does Alabama need to do? What is the key on defense to eliminate the potential for the big play and to try to contain that Texas A&M offense?
Well, I think that of course, everybody says they need to contain him and keep him from running loose, and that's a given. But I think what they have to do is avoid giving up big plays and being sure they keep their assignments, so that when he does begin to run around, that there's not somebody wide open down the field. And just keeping Texas A&M from making big plays, I think, would be the key.
Right, from a Texas A&M perspective now, they obviously don't have the athletes and the depth at every position that Alabama has. So if you look at this Texas A&M defense, and they are going to have a few starters returning and key players that they need back for this game, but still, the Texas A&M defense has been very average at best so far, giving up so many yards rushing and passing. It's really not one or the other. So my question to you is, how does Texas A&M try to keep up with Alabama and try to slow the offense down when Alabama has the ball?
I think they're going to need to get turnovers. I think they're going to need, and I think turnovers was the key to the game last year.
Mm.
And I think they're going to need to get some turnovers.
It's interesting you bring that up. The turnover margin, Alabama had 3 turnovers, I believe 2 interceptions and a fumble. Texas A&M had 0.
And I tell you, the turnovers is one of the biggest things in a game. And it impacts the game greatly. And I think that's what Texas A&M is going to need to have, because I think their defense is not as good, and it's not as it's not a real big defensive line.
Well, it'll certainly be an interesting game, and now I have to ask you, as you look at this game, you've sized it up from every angle, and knowing what you know, What is your prediction, first, on how the game will go, the flow, the style of the game, what you think will be crucial in the game, and then finally, what you think the final score will be about on Saturday when that scoreboard ticks to 0-0?
Like I said, number one, I think Alabama, Alabama will wear Texas A&M down with their running game and their short passes. And I think if that is the case, that in the second half, they might start running at will. The second thing, Alabama would need to avoid the big plays. And then third, they must avoid turnovers. And I think that this might be a game when Yeldon and maybe a couple of new guys, Henry and Tenpenny, really do some hammering and running. And I think that will be the key for Alabama to win the game. I also think that John Fulton will need to really do a good job containing Mike Evans, the big 6'5", 225-pound end for Texas A&M. He's a really good player, and I think that's going to be the key for them.
2:30 CBS Saturday, you think Alabama will win, and what's the margin you're projecting?
If I were to just, here again, it is very hard to predict. I'm just going to use a kind of a figure. I think the score will be something like 34-20.
Well,
in favor of Alabama.
You know, we pay you the big bucks to come up with these predictions. 34-20, college football professor. I'm sure everyone in the nation will be watching, and thank you for your analysis today, professor, and we'll look forward to talking probably about this again next week and also some other matchups.
You're certainly welcome, Jacob. I trust you'll have a good evening.
This is Jacob Bunn for the program here on BunnSports.com. We'll have much more content on this game as well as a number of others on the podcast and the website throughout the weekend. I'll give my prediction on Friday as we close it out, looking ahead to this monumental matchup between Texas A&M and Alabama.